are tuned to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, and this program is Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis, your host, and today we have a very special offering for you. It's really an opportunity to connect with one of the most celebrated holistic centers in New York. And in our first segment, we are going to be speaking of an event coming up at the New York Open Center called Celebrating the Summer Solstice, an interactive performance with Alessandra Belloni. And in our second segment, we're going to offer you an opportunity to learn about shamanic feng shui. And we're going to be talking about an introduction to an ongoing feng shui program at the New York Open Center. And joining in this first segment is Araceli Brown, one of the program directors for the Open Center. So I want to say hello and welcome, Araceli.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. And also joining us is Alessandra Belloni, and she is a singer, percussionist, dancer, and actress, a tambourine virtuoso, designer, and pioneer in the preservation of the Southern Italian folk culture. Alessandra is considered a true scholar of Italian ancient tradition and shares her knowledge based on 35 years of field research and the power of transformation connected to the Black Madonna. Her CDs include Earth, Sun, and Moon, Tarantata Dance, and The Ancient Spider, and the Canti d'Amore. So we will be able to learn much more about Alessandra and her work. And she does have a website, alessandrabelloni.com, alessandrabelloni.com. And we will give you all the connections to the Open Center as we move through the program. So welcome. Hello and welcome, Alessandra, to Heart of Mind Radio.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much. And I want to speak for a moment with you, Araceli, as the program director for the New York Open Center. I find that you bring some of the most unique programs. I believe that you also bring a wide range of cultural programs that really reach into the gift, the roots, and the teachings from a variety of perspectives. So I really love that about your work at the Open Center, because it's it really gets into the essence of who we are as human beings. So with that,
let me see if I can top that.
About the Open Center and, you know, this program that you brought forth on celebrating the summer solstice. And I want to go deep with Alessandra on her work.
I wanted to, I do bring a lot of programs that I feel can represent a variety of different cultures as often as I can. And Alessandra is one of those people. Now, I actually attended one of the international trips that the Open Center does in Italy, outside of Rome. And Alessandra was there to take us to a procession on the Black Madonna, which is she's really one of the scholars of the tradition. And it was a rather eye-opening, and I felt truly welcomed and part of a community that I would never thought I would be walking in. I was walking in this procession on the streets with the people in a small town in Italy and going towards a church, something that's practiced every year for centuries. And Alessandra is one of the upholders of this, so I myself don't know every part of it, but Alessandra, I wanted to hear also more about her own background and how she came into this, really.
Absolutely. And I just want to, remind people that this event is coming up fairly soon. It's Friday, June 23rd from 7 to 9, the New York Open Center, and you can go to opencenter.org to find out more about it. Forgive me for interrupting you.
Oh, that's all right.
But Alessandra, I agree. I would love to learn more about how you came into this tradition, which is Christian in its roots, but it's also pre-Christian.
It's pre-Christian, absolutely.
Yeah, so can you tell us a little bit about how you came into this tradition and how you work around this tradition of the, you say it's the Earth Mother and the archetype of the African Mother, the Black Madonna.
Yes, I'm the director of the Italian Music Theater Dance Company that is presenting the performance at the Open Center. And when I began the research back in 1980, so it's a long time ago, and I was doing the research on the music, everywhere I went, really in the south of Italy, I ended up in these beautiful locations, mountains, sea, lakes, or places in nature where there were Black Madonnas. I'm from Rome. There are Black Madonnas in Rome, but I did not grow up with that. The Vatican did not tell us that Mary, the Mother of Jesus, is Black. So it was very mind-opening. Even if I was very young, I could feel that there was a whole different explanation that they weren't really telling us. And what's really the most powerful part of this tradition in the south of Italy, and Araceli saw one procession where women chant, and they chant these archaic melodies that are not Western at all, is that we kept the pre-Christian musical traditions of the devotion. So that's very rare. There are Black Madonnas all over the world, but in our tradition, the part that is untouched is the musical and trance ritual devotion, where people drum all night and dance all night in honor of the mother to receive a healing, to receive a miracle, or chant like Araceli saw that they usually chant for 10, 12 hours. And again, non-Western melodies. So that triggered my curiosity to know more who she was. And at the same time, I was diagnosed with a cancerous condition in the 80s. And when I woke up from anesthesia, I had a very clear vision of the Black Madonna over me, telling me that I had to feel other people's pain and that I had to follow her. And she was the voice of the earth. So it's a long story, but then I'm telling you in a short way. And that really awakened me to write an opera called The Voyage of the Black Madonna, which I didn't know what was going to be, but I just followed her. I went to these sites that I knew of, starting from Naples down to Sicily, following a legend that says there are the seven sisters, seven Black Madonnas. And the last one is the believed to be the ugliest, but she ran away to a high mountain to hide, and when they find her, they find out she's the most beautiful of all, and they call her Mamma Schiavona, the serving mother, and that's the Madonna of Monte Vergine in the mountains near Naples. So these locations, especially this one, is a very important one today, where people drum and dance the Tamburiata, which we will do on next week. They're actually ancient sites of the goddess Cibele from Anatolia, from Turkey. And she was a Black goddess where women priestesses honored her with drums. But also something people are not so familiar with, there's a tradition of transgenders. They used to become men and became women to honor the goddess Cibele. And they were called Galli. And this tradition is also still popular in Naples. There are men who became women who are honoring the Madonna with the drumming and the dance. So this is really very special of our culture. And then as I followed the path of the Madonna, the story of the voyage of the Black Madonna is the other sisters. So moving on to other places where, like the place where Araceli came, she's called La Madonna della Libera, Our Lady of Freedom, very powerful, very, very healing. And she's really venerated for a long, long time, at least over 1,000 years. But she's located in a place that was an ancient cult of the goddess Isis from Egypt, from Africa. And moving on, there are more, especially the one in Tindari in Sicily, another powerful place by the sea, and she was found by the beach, and she you know, the legend says she saved the fishermen from a storm. She's venerated on top of the mountain in an ancient Greek settlement called Tyndaris, but also connected to the goddess Demeter. And this particular Madonna, though, you know, said to become from Ethiopia and really looks like an African totem. So I want to say the beauty of this tradition of the Black Madonna is that she's, again, a pre-Christian devotion that was kept by the Christian church, that embraces everybody, and she really is like the female aspect of God. And when you're in these places, you can't help but feel that she is really the mother where we come from, and her statues or paintings are really powerful. You can see their faces shift. Things really do happen in these places. Miracles happen. And I had a couple, so I can tell you that much. I hope to inspire people next week to come and experience, because we will have the audience participate in our performance.
Wow. I have to say, as I was hearing you talk, I think I'm planning my next trip to Italy. I would love
I lead a pilgrimage there in August. So that's what I do every year now. I lead a pilgrimage. So from August 4th through the 16th, I take people on the journey with me. It's been now 4 years. I've been called to do that. In the beginning, I think Araceli knows that I was very protective of this tradition. Then I realized, you know, and nobody owns a Black Madonna, really. She's telling me to bring people to her, so that's what I do. And I'm writing a book on it. Finally, it's been a process of, you know, about a year and a half I'm working on the book.
I just wanted to make sure, because a lot of times when people hear the word Black Madonna, they don't understand we're talking about what most Christians understand as the Virgin Mary. It's the same one. So it just to make that clarification, because people say, who's the Black Madonna? So in that respect.
Well, that's a good point. It is complex because she's a Mary, Mother of Jesus, of course, but it's also embracing the worship that existed before, and that's the beauty. And also in the early Christianity, all the paintings were done, they're attributed to St. Luke in our tradition. They were all dark. Mary was dark, Jesus was dark, because, of course, at that time they knew that they couldn't have been the white Renaissance representation that the Vatican chose to do later on, but they were all represented dark, you know, the Byzantine icons. Yes, of course, she's the Mary, Mother of God. That's how we grew up knowing that. Right, Araceli?
Well, I mean, I've always heard of the Black Madonna, but I never really spoke to anyone who could speak from that traditional position, because we live in such an upside-down world today, in which the truths have been distorted. So I think that it's really important that people understand that this is a long-standing ancient tradition, really, when you think about it in terms of the people of the region, because it's not limited to Italy, of course. It's throughout Southern Europe, at least, and maybe Northern Europe as well. And then there was this upheaval, not just in this information, but in many of the ancient teachings, when the Vatican took control and Rome became the ruler of the globe, really. So let me ask you to give a little bit more of what this performance will be, so that people can have a sense of what they'll experience. And for me, it seems like this is something that is almost akin to visiting or engaging in this energy itself. It seems like it's more than a performance, because you're talking about celebrating the summer solstice. It's interactive. So tell us a little bit more of what you're going to be sharing on this evening of June 23rd. That's Friday, June 23rd, 7 to 9 p.m. at the New York Open Center. Go ahead.
Yes, based on the original opera I wrote, The Voyage of the Black Madonna, now I take a different approach where I involve more the audience and I do a more of a conversation about the Black Madonna. So we will begin with a processional chant and the ritual drumming that also closes the performance. And as I begin telling the story of each Madonna and each tradition, I will tell my story, how I found the Madonna, her legend, her miracles, and we're prepared to give the words to the chants, so the secret chants, probably, unless people have seen my shows, they've never heard before. So the intention is that people can actually learn these prayers and chant with us. So it's a ritual that I would rather say it's more of a ritual than a performance, because that's how in ancient times these things were conceived, that everybody was part of a ritual. And in the solstice is a magical time of the earth, so you send out the healing energy, you know, to the planet and to the community. So in each legend, there will be chants that people will learn. And I'm joined by a guitarist and a violinist. So there will be melodies, of course, and accompaniment. And two wonderful dancers from Italy who will guide the audience in some movements. Because, again, as I was explaining, in each place there are different dances that are done. One, for example, from the region of Calabria is a spinning dance that people, they drum the fast tarantella 6/8 rhythm for the Black Madonna of the poor. She's called of the poor because only poor people can lift the statue. The rich people can't. If rich people try to lift the statue, she gets heavy. So La Madonna dei Poveri. And it's incredible feast, you know, with somebody that processed with a pole between his legs. It really looks phallic and fertility, right? And people spin and dance for her. So we will do that dance and guide audience members that are interested in experiencing that in this movement, which is similar to the whirling dervishes. And we will also guide people when we speak about the Madonna of the sea, the goddess of sea and love. We make the connection also with the African tradition in our culture, Aphrodite, but in Afro-Yoruba tradition is Iemanjá, the Orisha of the goddess of love and sea. And our dancer is also experiencing that tradition. So we lead the audience in those movements that are done for Iemanjá, honoring the sea and bringing love. And as we move on to the other legends of the Black Madonna from of Our Lady of Freedom, then there will be a couple of those chants that I learned from the old ladies where the audience can learn to chant with us. And in the closing part, when we speak about Cibele, the goddess of the earth and the sacred mountain, then we come back to the beginning where we do this beautiful chant where people can try singing it with us. Again, most people won't know the words, but our intention is that they follow us and experience it for themselves, because these chants use the Lydian mode or the Neapolitan scale, which is known from ancient times to calm the mind. So we really hope that that really comes through, even if they don't pronounce the words perfectly. That's not what it is about, but to have them experience that, the effect of the Lydian mode. And then we end with the Tamboriata, which is a fertility sensual dance ritual. And I play the drum, the frame drums. And hopefully the audience will join in that part of the movement too, which is really fun. And it helps let go. The sensual dances were also done to release sexual blockages and to celebrate love, fertility. You know, in ancient times there were orgiastic rites too, but the spirit of it is really to release and embrace the love of the mother.
Fantastic.
That sounds magical. I'm going to be there. I think it sounds very magical. So I have a question. Aracel, do you want to give some information about how people can register?
Well, yes. I also wanted to mention a very quick, a little bit about also Steve Korn, who's joining Alessandra that night. He's a world-renowned master flautist. He's a Grammy Award winner. And he is basically combines classical Indian tradition with contemporary world music. So, I mean, you know, he's been out there with Paul Simon and all these other people, but these are some of the people that Alessandra usually has joined in her wonderful presentations. And So this should be a wonderful evening. And if you wanted to join it, that would be June 23rd. It begins at 7 o'clock. It'll be at the Open Center at 22 East 30th Street between Madison and Fifth Avenue, closer to Madison. You can definitely go to the website at www.opencenter.org or just give a call at 212-219-2527, and that's extension 0, and ask for registration. Either to do it on phone or just do it online.
Give out the number again, Arsalie.
Oh, sure. 212-219-2527, extension 0. And you can also find it at opencenter.org.
And it's very reasonable. Great. I mean, a little under 30 for members, a little over for non-members. I think most of us can see that the value is far exceeds the amount that you would be giving to honor this work at the New York Open Center. And we'll mention that again at the end of this segment. But Alessandra, I have a curiosity about this. I'm a black woman living in New York City, and I had no idea that all of this was happening. Can you speak how widespread it's known? I mean, I was aware of the Black Madonna, of course, but I had no idea that there was this rich tradition that had survived. So I'm wondering if you can tell us how many actually know about it, and what is the tradition of the people who have been doing this and been holding on to this information?
Well, that's a very good point. I just want to mention the book I'm working on. The title is God is a Woman and She's Black, Healing Journeys with the Black Madonna, because I really think the world needs to wake up to this big time, especially now with what's going on. In Italy, it is when I bring people from United States to these places, where, of course, our race is mixed. You know, southern Italy is closer to Africa than the rest of Europe. So it is not that strange that we're connected to Africa and the dark, you know, the dark mother. Or there's a lot of black Jesuses. I'm also researching that now. A lot of black saints. But she's all over Europe, where, you know, in Ireland, in England, in Switzerland, everywhere. Every Catholic country has a patron who's a black Madonna, by the way, so if you want to research that. So so the local people, it's normal. We do know that it's normal that Mary is black. So when them people come from America and see that, I see them weep, I see them cry, I see them shocked. I've had some African-American people come with me. Especially one woman made me cry too, because she said, we grew up never thinking that there are black sacred images. So I think that's really important, that there is a shift in the consciousness, especially in this country now, that there are black sacred images worshipped all over the world by white people. And we don't even question that. And the other thing is that New York is full of black Madonnas. If you're interested, I can tell you where they are. I think the mainstream culture doesn't want her to be so popular, but there she is. You know, of course, she's there because she existed before time. So I hope that this work I do, and I think that's the thing. I think about artists helps to bring awareness to the black sacred images, to embrace them, and to make a shift also in the issues of racism. That's part of my wish as well.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I know this is probably a lot to ask, but could you share with us some small fragment of a chant or a song or a devotion that people can energetically sink into right now?
I sent the MP3 to Arasali. Is that possible, or is that not going to work?
Oh, that maybe. Can you do it online? I can try to send that out.
It would be much better because of my voice by itself right now may not be the same. Is it possible to play that?
If you email it to me now,
will try to do that.
Or in between, maybe we'll play it before as we leave the program so that we can let people hear that, that would be wonderful. Unfortunately, I didn't receive it, or I didn't see it before the beginning of the show. So in either case, we'll share that. But the real opportunity here is for people to share in this experience. It's a rare experience, certainly new from my perspective. And it's an evening performance, Friday, June 23rd, from 7 to 9 p.m. And it's at the New York Open Center. And it's called Celebrating the Summer Solstice, an Interactive Performance. So would this be next week? Friday?
Yes.
It's next
week,
Friday.
Next week.
And our guest is Alessandra Belloni. And she, for those of you who didn't hear the introduction, is a singer, percussionist, dancer, and actress, tambourine virtuoso, designer, and pioneer in the preservation of Southern Italian folk culture. Alessandra is considered a true scholar of Italian ancient tradition and shares her knowledge based on 35 years of field research and the power of transformation connected to the Black Madonna. Her CDs include Earth, Sun, and Moon, Tarantata Dance, Ancient Spider, and Canti d'Amore. So, and her website is alessandrabelloni.com, alessandrabelloni.com. And Alessandra, again, what is the name of your upcoming book?
God is a Woman and She's Black, Healing Journeys with the Black Madonna.
There you go.
So we will definitely want to speak to you again to let people
know
about your book and perhaps your trip as well when you're guiding people through the countryside to visit these Black Madonna.
Oh yes.
Statues. That would be wonderful. So I'm really, really happy that you are with us today. And as we're getting close to the end of this segment, do you have a final thought you want to share with people?
Well, what I said before, that it's important to go back to understand the healing power of the Great Mother, of the Dark Mother, and to be embraced by her. She can really heal the planet right now and shift the consciousness. So hope you'll understand that there are many ways to find her if you reach out to her.
Thank you. So thank you for joining us. And we will be back with our upcoming guests. And we'll be talking about feng shui. So thank you very much, Alessandra, for joining
us. Thank you very much. Thank you, Araceli.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so coming up, we are going to be talking about feng shui. So, Araceli, why don't you give us a little bit of introduction into this program that you brought into the Open Center, or is really a long-standing program, because it's actually a deep study into the art of feng shui. And so we're going to be speaking with Barry Gordon and Rosalie Prinzivalli.
Correct, Rosalie Prinzivalli. The program has been at the Open Center over 20 years. And it is a long-term standing program that was established and really was originally led by the founding Professor Lin Yung, who brought it to feng shui to the West. He founded the term basically in the United States, and Barry and Stephen were one of the first really true teachers of the art, and later on Rosalie Prinzivalli joined the team. So is Barry on board right now?
We have both guests online, I believe.
Wonderful,
we have Barry Gordon, a feng shui practitioner and educator, since 1984, accomplished physicist and intuitive counselor with extensive business experience. He combines metaphysical methods of many cultures, a master instructor who makes feng shui user-friendly for the Western mind. And Rosalie Frinzavalli, MBA, was the first graduate to join the faculty, succeeding Dr. Edgar Tseng in 2007, and she started studying feng shui in 1996, but was studying Taoism, energy healing, meditation, and astrology since the early 1980s. She served as a board chair of the International Feng Shui Guild from 2006 to 2014. So that is like such a wealth of experience. I'd like to welcome you both, Barry and Rosalie.
I just wanted to say one of the things, I'm sorry, that the feng shui, the word feng shui itself, back in the 90s, I guess, received a certain introduction into the media, and it became a fixed idea into people's minds about feng shui was the art of placement of in the room, of just moving around a lot of furniture. It became part of interior decorating in a way, and how that affected your energy and your success. And because the traditions of China are so deep and ancient, in order to get across an in-depth tradition, sometimes I think it's just easier to capture something small so that it can be understood very quickly in media. But the tradition itself is based very much in shamanic traditions of ancient Tibetans and other traditions. And Rosalie and Barry will further explain that, because this I truly see as a shamanic training. But the traditional shamanic training is part of the feng shui tradition. So by all means.
All right. Thank you. And we're going to be letting people know about this, learning about shamanic feng shui secrets to success. And this is an introduction to shamanic feng shui. And Barry Gordon, I'd love for you to open up by letting us know a little bit more about this introduction and how it leads into the full program.
Oh, well, I guess there's two things that are going on. I think it's next Friday night, there's a free one-hour introduction, and during that we're going to, you know, of course, explain about the depth and breadth of feng shui. Araceli was correct in that it's such a broad tradition. Really, it's kind of a form for the Chinese of Jungian and Gestalt therapy, you know. And, I mean, they wouldn't say that, but from our viewpoint, it would be. And so we're using the person's whole environment, both externally and internally, to help them to adjust their chi, their energy, to make it flow and be smooth and harmonious, which makes their life smooth and harmonious. And a lot of it's actually based on what we now call the law of attraction. We cover both sides of the law of attraction. People don't realize there's a negative side to it also. Because, you know, you're creating consciously when you can, but you're also creating unconsciously most of the time. So so we cover that whole range of methods and teachings that come from Tibet and China, and actually Western methods, too, because, you know, our students are mostly Western and the clients are mostly Western. So we try to, you know, bring it up to date and make it really workable. So in the intro, we're going to, you know, talk about all this, and we'll do a couple of exercises in the intro that are about adjusting your internal chi using visualization and meditation and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's the big intro on
July 15th. Well, the Friday intro is the free one, yeah.
The Friday's the free one, and then in July 15th, Rosalie's teaching an intro that goes much more into depth. It's a whole day.
Yes, and Rosalie, I would love for you to come in and tell us about this full day event. And with this, people will really walk away with some skills, and perhaps they would want to proceed with the certification program? Because my understanding is that there is a process in this whole certification process that takes place over several years so that people can actually go out and be practitioners of feng shui. But yeah, tell us about your introduction, the full-day workshop.
Well, the introduction that I'm going to be teaching this time in July is something that we offer several times during the year, and by different, each of the teachers teaches at least once during the year, so that you know, somebody could maybe have the intro with me, some maybe will come with Barry, and you'll get the experience of one is the teacher and two is the material. The material is going to be the same. It's just we explain it differently, we connect differently, and you're right, we pack a lot into the day, which in the end the students love, because by the end of the day we're looking at floor plans of their homes and trying to see how to apply everything we've taught during the day. So as Barry said, we start with meditations, we start with some basic principles like the concept of yin and yang and the Tao, and the five elements come into it. But these topics in and of themselves are so huge, we could spend years just studying them. So here we can just sort of introduce them. But we do spend time on the Bagua, which is a map that we use. It's a metaphorical expression of what's going on in the space. And we teach these different techniques. We teach also a listing of what Professor gave us as different objects that you can use to adjust the chi. And as Barry said, you know, since really we're concerned about the person's chi, we give at least two exercises during the day to show you how to lift your own chi.
Rosalie, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about one of the things you are well known for, and that is face readings, which most people wouldn't understand what that's about. And one of the examples that I just want to introduce before you answer this is that somebody pointed out to me you have they said you have a scar underneath your lip, which I remember I got when I was a child. And that scar, they said, is in the position of when you're going to be, at the time, 65. When you become 65, you have to be aware of a certain kind of illness that you can actually try to prevent just by knowing that there's a certain marking on the body or the face. And that
is... But it's two things, Araceli, and, uh-huh. and it's true. And I think this is true of any kind of techniques that we teach. On the one hand, it gives you information, and having information usually allows your mind to figure out how to get through that, you know, how not to be surprised, okay? But mm-hmm. then we also give techniques as we would with anything else. If there's an issue, this is the technique we might use. This is now, I'm far from an expert in in face reading, but I did really sort of grab onto it once I realized I had to be teaching it, and it just fascinates me. I mean, I walk down the streets, and I'm looking at people's facial structure, where their ears are on their head. I mean, watching television, I can't tell you how many times I've taken a picture. Ah, this is a person with very low ears. They're probably very deliberate and slow to make a decision. They're not going to be quick, you know. And then you look to see, I mean, then I look to see if it's true. And usually it kind of bears a resemblance to the personality of the person who's on the TV. So there's a lot, there's so many techniques that we teach. We, and like I said, sometimes the students want us to teach each one longer, but what we're trying to get them to do is not embrace necessarily everything we teach, but pick the things that resonate with them, right? Like mm-hmm. one of the things that Barry taught in my training when I was a student was how to douse a floor plan. And you know, I'm very sensitive to things, but I don't know what my sensitivity necessarily means. And I had tried for years to learn how to douse, and I've never been successful. I always got mixed results. But the way Barry taught it, and then we swapped floor plans with a student sitting next to us, my colleague looked at me at the end and said, How did you know that? I said, I didn't know anything. My pendulum knew it.
Well, see, you have to tell people what dowsing is, because some people won't know.
Dowsing is a way of using a tool to get to allow you to ask a question and get an answer from your, maybe Barry should explain this, higher
self. Well, it's a way to access information that you couldn't consciously know. So the way we teach it, we work with both the subconscious mind and the high self. So I have I've trained in the Hawaiian lineage, so I use that terminology. That you really have three minds, your subconscious mind, conscious, and your higher mind, your high self. And so we train people to communicate with their subconscious mind and also with their high self, and in fact even bring their high self into their body and try to integrate all three minds, which is the ideal state to be in. And so eventually, you know, you can learn to just communicate directly with those minds. But we use kinesiology, and we use pendulums, which is called dowsing. And we even use certain kinds of rods where we teach you to douse for water also.
Well, those are fun because when you guys go on retreat every year, you're out in the woods, and you basically, I've seen it, they're dowsers, these long sticks. You go near water, and they start to bend down towards the water as you're holding them. So there's an energetic connection.
Right. Yeah, we even talk to the trees.
Okay.
So, you know, it's really, though, ultimately, it's all about the person. You know, people think of feng shui, like Araceli said earlier, as moving furniture around. But actually, feng shui was always about adjusting the energy of the person in a kind of a metaphysical way. The Chinese, you know, they didn't have interior designers. I mean, the Imperial Palace is quite amazing, but most Chinese ancient homes, old homes, they were very plain. And so they were interested in how to create an energy by adjusting their homes and how they sat and how they slept and factors like that with their, like, astrology, with the energy of the universe, with the energy of the environment. It was a much broader thing. It wasn't about interior design at all. And so we teach all of that, you know, and including things like energy psychology in the class, because people who go through our programs are going to end up being coaches and counselors. And we teach you how to do it in a way that you can actually end up doing it on the Internet. I have a lot of business on the Internet now. It's amazing, all over the world, you know. So even feng shui turns out you can do over the Internet. That kind of blew my mind when I first tried that.
There's a variety of careers you can actually come away with from this tradition and from the actual training.
Well, what I wanted to say, what I started to say, was that we teach a lot of different tools. Some you're going to resonate with, and some you may not. My point being that even if you only resonate with a few, and you master those, that's often enough to give you insight into what's going on with your client, and then insight on how you can help them to resolve the issue. So while it's very broad, the topic, and endless, and you can study for the rest of your life, we're more about how do you apply it. And so you really do, and you mentioned something, Araceli, about doing consultations. We want our students to start doing consultations as soon as they're ready. Often that means in the beginning of the first year. And the reason we ask them to do that is because we're constantly mentoring the students. We each get one-third of the incoming class to mentor. And so if I have a student who found a client, they're going to gather the information, send it to me. I'm going to get on the phone call with the student. We're going to go over the whole thing. The way Barry said, we could do it by distance, by Skype, by, you know, in person with the student. And then the student can go off and begin to do their training, because now it's up to them to train their eye and their energy to know what's going on in the space in addition. So we're there with them, even though we're not going on the consultations with them. We prepare them and we talk to them afterwards, and if we need to make adjustments to what the client was told, we can do that as the client's energy starts to shift. You don't. I personally don't want to give clients too many things at once, because sometimes you can see their eyes glazing over if you do that, right? It's very easy to start. We want our students to start a relationship with their clients so that they keep in touch with them, they check in with them, and if things are going in the great direction, perfect. If they're moving, but the client thinks feng shui didn't work because they didn't get what they wanted, then we're here to explain to them that sometimes it starts out going in the wrong direction. Now we have to make the adjustments or help the client to clear the issues that are causing them not to get the outcome they need.
Don't you also work with the student's home and feng shuiing their home?
Araceli, I just wanted to make a clarification for our listeners. A while ago, you mentioned about the client's eyes glazing over. I think that's beginning to happen to me a little bit.
Yes.
So I just if it's happening to me, I think maybe our listeners. So I wanted to clarify that there are a number of events happening and a number of stages to this program. Mm-hmm. And basically, this shamanic feng shui program is a program that in many ways helps people to heal themselves, but it also it's a form of professional development. It's a field of study that is extensive that people can get involved in. And so I just wanted to point out that there's about one hour introduction on June 23rd from 7 to 8.
Which is a free introduction.
A free introduction at the Open Center on the 23rd. And that way you can get your toes wet, which just to get a sense of what it is. And then there's another event, which is a full-day workshop. And this is Learn Shamanic Feng Shui Secrets to Success. And this is an introduction to shamanic feng shui with Rosalie Prinzavalli and Judith Wendell. And this is the full-day workshop is Saturday, July 15th from 10 to 6 p.m. And in this workshop, you learn various techniques such as the art of placement, commanding positions, rituals to change how your environment affects your moods and your success, space clearing rituals for a fresher, healthier home or office, and learn teachings from Tibetan Bon, Buddhist, Taoist, and other shamanic traditions. So this full-day workshop will give you a lot of information and be able to really get a handle on all that's available. But this workshop is an introduction. It's a bit of a prerequisite to a full program in which you can become certified as a practitioner in these arts.
That's by New York State as well.
Yeah.
Licensed by New York State. It's a three-year training because it takes a long time to really develop yourself and your intuition. We really help people develop their intuition and their ability to move energetically between different levels of reality. So it's a three-year program. You can take it year by year. There's a certificate every year, and then you get the master's certificate at the end of 3 years.
Okay, thanks. So I think that makes it a little bit clearer for people. And you can register for these first two aspects of it, the free introduction on June 23rd, or you can register for the full-day workshop on Saturday, July 15th by going to the New York Open Center. And if you go to the website, opencenter.org, you'll be able to look at and consider the full certificate program to see if this is something that you want to pursue. And I don't really know of any, I'm sure there are places where you can do this, but this is one of the most comprehensive programs that I've seen. I'm a Qigong teacher, and I really like the level of moving people through stages so that they can comprehend and really connect with the energy through their own capacity, intuitive and learning capacity, and then be able to help others. This is a very traditional way of doing it, to really go deep enough into it that you become very well versed by the end of the program. And I think that that's very important for people who want to study it. But also, if I were going to engage someone in this practice, I would want to know that they have gone through a program like this, because it's important. You can't learn the depth of this material in a weekend. If anyone sells you that, don't believe it. So
exactly.
I wanted to ask Barry or Rosalie, do you have like one small thing that you could offer the listening audience that in some way I would say would be, it's also individual, but you know what I'm saying, of not a cure, but maybe it is a cure of something in their home, even their entrance? Or is that possible on the radio? I mean, on the internet?
That's really impossible on the radio. I would say that something on the radio, it's hard to do, except, you know, the underlying basis for the whole program is really meditative. The first step is just mindfulness, learning to be mindful. And so we practice something called the Heart Sutra. But one of the easiest ways, I mean, people could do it listening in even, is just to, you know, to sit up straight and just start to become aware of their breathing and listening to the radio. And as they become aware of their breathing, as you become aware of your breathing, you can become aware of your body expanding and contracting with each breath.
Excellent.
And all you have to do is keep focused on your body expanding and contracting with each breath, and just for a moment, just focus on that.
I would love to stay in that space, but we are just about out of time for this segment, so I'm wondering if Araceli, you could wrap up and tell people about how to connect and register for these programs.
Sure. Definitely give a call to the Open Center at 212-219-2527, and that's extension 0. Talk to one of our registration agents. Tell them that you want to come to the free introductory evening with Rosalie Principale on Friday, June the 23rd. And also,
I'll be there too.
That's
yes.
going to be
oh,
all of us
there
going to be
great,
there.
Fantastic. And I think
we'll
oh, it's also
there.
Stephen
yep.
Post will be there as well. And therefore, you can go go to that event, and then all three of them will be there to give you as much information as possible. Rosalie's introduction will be coming up on July the 15th for the full day with Judith Wendell. And you could also go to the Open Center website, which is opencenter.org, and definitely sign up online. So by all means, 212-219-2527, extension 0, and sign up, because I have enjoyed many years of working with this tradition and with these teachers, which are truly masters and one of the few in the United States who do this. There was a program on the West Coast, East Coast, and definitely, you know, if you get down to the very small minutia of what you do, the small techniques to the huge techniques, it could impact your life. It's transformational. So
very good.
You can't find that out until you come to that free intro. So please, by all means.
Yeah, so this is a real opportunity. There's a free intro, there's a full day workshop, and then there's this 3-year program. So I want to thank you all for joining us today to let people know about this feng shui expansive program that people can get involved in. I want to thank you, Araceli, for getting us up to date on what's happening at the Open Center. And our guests this segment have been Barry Gordon, a feng shui practitioner and educator since 1984, and Rosalie Prinzavalli, who is the first graduate to join the faculty succeeding Dr. Edward Sung. You could find out more about all this on opencenter.org. And for those of you who would like to connect with this program, you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. Check our archive page for links for all of the we heard on today's program, and you can email me directly at heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Certainly, you can join us on Saturday afternoons from 2:30 to 4 p.m. We have an ongoing Qigong practice for health and stress reduction. So I want you to stay tuned in the many ways possible and have a glorious week coming forward. And if you keep on that radio dial on the internet, prn.fm, you're going to hear a lot more wonderful programming. So stay tuned.